Redbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota on Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit toyotaonnicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com.
Welcome to Real Living. We are going to talk a little bit about, in this show today, about the matter of healing. Does God heal today? Mary Lou, you and I went to a very informative and inspiring conference over the weekend.
Yes, we did.
And it was led by a Protestant minister by the name of Randy Clark. I love that. An ecumenical field. I mean, it's a field in which Catholics and people from other faith traditions agree. Does God heal? Yes. Does God have the power to heal? Yes. Does God, one of the titles of the talk of the guy, Randy Clark, was, can God use little old me?
Hey.
Right? And the answer to that was yes.
Yeah. In fact, he had us repeat that several times so that we were really claiming that we believed it. And that is one of his tenets in his book, The Power to Heal, where he starts out with that in the very beginning, that God
books.
Can use little old me.
Absolutely. And Dr. Randy Clark has his PhD, and his doctoral dissertation was on healing in the church in America today, which I thought was kind of cool, that whole idea that you could write your whole doctoral dissertation. It's similar, really, to Father Matthias Thelen's doctoral dissertation about the biblical roots of healing in the church. You know, in the end, we all want the same thing. And I love that Randy Clark is the source and the mentor of two people in the prominent in the Catholic Church today, Dr. Mary Healy and Father Matthias Thelen. Because they both were able to travel with him and go on mission trips with him, with Randy, to places like Brazil and Chile and places like that, and actually minister to arenas and stadiums full of thousands of thousands of thousands of people who were praying for healing. And that actually they came back and they saw amazing healings. If you have Dr. Mary Healy's book, Healing, she details some of those, of her experiences that she had with Randy Clark. So anyway, I heard about Randy Clark through, obviously, Mary Healy and Father Matthias, and I figured, you know, this is our heritage as well. Let's go find out from somebody who God is really using very powerfully for healing. And for just prayer for people and just mediating God's divine power to the body. If there's one thing I think that marks perhaps some mainline denominational Protestant churches and perhaps many Catholics, is this idea that somehow the Holy Spirit packed his bags at the end of the first century. And that was like a special anointing, those signs and wonders and miracles that you hear about in the early church. Somehow that stuff only happened then, and maybe it happens for St. Teresa of Avila, and it happens for Padre Pio, you know, and it happens for the Mother Teresa, but not for, quote, little old me, unquote.
Right.
And nothing could be farther than the truth. I think the barriers that need to be taken down, I think, for rank and file Catholics is, for one thing, a certain amount of clericalism. You know, if Father can't do it, if Father doesn't do it, if Father doesn't talk about it, then I can't do it, talk about it, etc. And that's, you know, runs contrary to the teaching of the church, specifically in things like the Decree of the Laity, one of the documents out of Vatican II, which says that the mission of the laity is to evangelize, sanctify, penetrate, and perfect the temporal order. And we know that one of the things that accompanies a successful evangelization is manifestations of the divine power. He has not left us orphans, and so he will always underline the message when it is preached in power with signs of power. I mean, that follows, I think.
And that should be instrumental in the church. There should be time set aside for prayers for healing, for believers to get together to, and just like as we did with this conference, to pray for healing for certain people. That is a common denominator in our church, which mm-hmm. is not something that we see frequently, but we're starting to see it more frequently now, I believe.
Yes, I agree. As people are more open to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that would be a stirring up of baptismal and confirmation graces that we already have, sacramental graces. So yes, it's obviously, it's a topic, it's a hotly debated topic. I think many Catholics, when they talk about, when you hear about healing, they think about people in white suits on stages pushing people over, and they're quite turned off by the whole thing. Or they think about emotionalism, or they think about sensationalism. But yes, maybe those have been abuses like that. But that shouldn't mean that we throw the baby out with the bathwater. That doesn't mean that we don't expect the Lord confidently to intervene in a situation, whether it's through speaking very clearly through somebody, or through healing, inner healing of memories, healing of your psyche, healing of psychological and spiritual manifestations and illnesses. I mean, you know, our God is an awesome God, and He is fire. And when we call upon the Holy Spirit, we call upon the fire of God, the presence of God that dwells within us to manifest itself. And so that's kind of what we're praying for.
You know, Randy commented on what you were saying about, you know, those televangelists that, you know, would be yelling and screaming and all these gestures and so forth. And in his book, The Power to Heal, he goes through certain steps. And he even says, you are to speak in your normal voice.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to say a ton of things. You know, Jesus didn't say a lot when he was healing people. Mm. You know, these are common things that are worthwhile to know, because it does, I think, allow us to step in and practice those very things far more easily than to, you know, try to think of ourselves as becoming some sort of crazy televangelist going out and, you know, laying hands on people and healing them. And in fact, since this conference, Lavinia, I went back to Mary Healy's book, and I went back to Lord, Renew Your Wonders by Damien Stain.
Mm-hmm.
And paging through the books, you know, it was encouraging to see that all of them were on the same page with many things.
Mm-hmm.
And with going back to scripture and so on and so forth. And what an encouragement it is to see that even though we're divided, you know, from the Protestants and many things, this is something that I think that we're on the same page, very much so. And that's very encouraging. And we all know that the world needs healing, individuals and countries and everything else. But this is, I think that his methodology was very simple to follow. And again, was very close to what Mary Healy and Damien Stain were saying in their books.
That's right. That's right. And so in the end, you know, a generation ago, there was a guy by the name of Francis McNutt, who used to be a Catholic priest and now is still a Catholic in good standing. Even though he became laicized and became married, he has an incredible ministry of healing. And he was actually asked by the Vatican about 10, 15 years ago as a consultor to the whole area of research in healing, because they knew that he had such an incredible experience with healing going back to the early 70s, late 60s, early 70s. So a huge patrimony of, I think right now he's like 86 or something, but he has written an amazing amount of books that I would really recommend. One is called Healing, of course. It seems like when you write a book on healing, you're not going to get real creative with the title. You're just going to call it Healing. So there's several books that are called Healing, you know. So I would go definitely to and look up his books, Francis McNutt, M-A-C-N-U-T-T, McNutt. I would also look for Dr. Mary Healy's book on healing. I would look for Father Matthias Thelen's new book on healing that you can get on Amazon. I would look for Randy Clark's books on the power to heal, the healing breakthrough, etc. I would look for, if you want really and truly amazing, amazing, absolutely amazing stories of how God is working today, I would look for Heidi Baker's book. A couple books as well. Heidi Baker is a Protestant missionary who went to the island of Mozambique a while back, and just believing God that she had heard God for this nation and that she was meant to be there. And when you see her, she's this petite blonde woman from Texas, you know, a very stylish, very nicely put together with her husband, Heidi and Roland Baker. And they went to Mozambique and they just believed that the Lord was going to raise the dead and heal the sick and just sort of bring food out of nothing for these people. And I'll be darned if raising the dead is a common, not, I wouldn't say common, but it is certainly more common there than it is over here. One story that she tells in one of her books, Heidi Baker, she says she had been preaching and she had been teaching these dirt poor people, children, elderly, everybody in between, and that they, to the point where they were just used to God intervening in situations. And it says, a boys, kids, I may be paraphrasing it, but you can look it up in the book. They were coming home from one of her meetings, or maybe they were going to school, or anyway, and they came upon one of their friends who somehow had gotten run over or had died of sickness. So like another boy their age, they're like a little friend, and they found him dead in the ditch. I mean, you know, I guess that kind of thing happens in Africa. And they thought nothing of praying over him for him to be raised from the dead. And the kid was raised from the dead.
You know, what great faith that took to do that.
Well, but more that, yeah, it's faith, but it's believing that God is going to do what he said he's going to do. And it's like that atmosphere of faith that Randy Clark was talking about.
You know, he equated that word faith with risk. You know, when you step out in faith, you know, you always feel like you're risking something. And when you stop and drop and pray for someone in those circumstances, It is a risk, because you don't know what's going to happen, but you're stepping out in faith because you're putting it in God's hands. You're allowing God to use you in those circumstances, and we have to be open to that. You talk about that all the time.
Well, expectation. I mean, the main word is expectation. Expect in faith. Expect God to do what he says he's going to do. Yeah, we got a lot of barriers to overcome. We got a lot of cultural preconceptions and ideas about how this kind of stuff never happens to us and how God won't use us because we're just regular people, you know, that kind of stuff. But I think that once we become more in touch with our baptismal anointing and our confirmational anointing and the sacramental anointing that we have been given. Oh my gosh, there's a guy out there by the name of Paul Kane, and he keeps repeating this one thing. He's a prophet. He's old right now, but he says, the anointing breaks the yoke. The anointing breaks the yoke. The yoke is, this kind of stuff never happens. We're yoked to unbelief, and we're yoked to this, you know, low expectations. But the anointing that we receive through the power of the Holy Spirit, which is our patrimony through baptism and confirmation, breaks those worldly lack or very low threshold of expectation. As a matter of fact, one of the things Randy Clark said in his talk was part of the ministry of healing is to remove obstacles and barriers to ministry. Right? More people will be healed when more people pray for healing. If you're like stymied about that, you're waiting just for the big, you know, healing priest to come to town and have a charismatic healing mass that happens once every 3 years, but you don't heal, you don't pray for healing, well, then that kind of minimizes the opportunities that the Holy Spirit has for healing. Now, does the Holy Spirit need us to pray before they're going to heal somebody? No. But God has somehow chosen to take us into partnership with him. Mm-hmm. And that's how we step out in faith, right?
But, you know, he also mentioned that the lie that God can't use you, that you need to get everything right before you can do this. wrong. If we waited to be holy to do anything, we would be in deep, deep trouble. I mean, God's going to use us where we are, how we are, as long as we're open, and we will grow in holiness by saying yes to God. We're never to be afraid to fail. And, you know, there may be times when things don't go the way we expect, but that's okay. You don't give up. And I thought he was very encouraging in that. That this is a track that we're to get on, stay on, and persevere.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, not just for a season, not because this is the healing kick season and everybody's talking about it, but then tomorrow they're going to be talking about something else. But,
right.
Because this is a normative part of the Christian experience. Actually, the Great Commission, you know, go and spread the gospel and to the corners of the earth, raise the dead. Heal the sick. Right? Deliver from evil spirits. I mean, there's a basic commandment given in Luke when he tells the disciples, you know, he sends out the 72 and he says, go into every house and say, peace be to this house, and then preach the kingdom, and then raise the dead, heal the sick, deliver from evil spirits. I mean, that's a basic, very basic commandment that God gives to his disciples. That's how you do it. You preach the kingdom, and then when you're done talking, you do what God has commanded you to do. And then when they come back, they say, Lord, Lord, evil spirits departed and people were healed and we raised the dead. And he says, that's good. So that's part of what we're supposed to do too. If God wants to know, like if we want to know, what does God want me to do? Like what does want, especially when we're younger, you know, should I get married? Who should I marry? What my career should be? What should I do? Mm-hmm. Those are all incidentals to the basic call in our life, which is whether you're married or you're single, whether you're in a career or you're not, whatever your call of life, whatever your vocation, your basic vocation as a Christian is to preach the kingdom, raise the dead, heal the sick, deliver from evil spirits. That's what God wants us to do. How do we know that? Because that's what it says in the Gospels. That's and he right. repeats that. Right? So maybe a little perception shift could happen here, where we don't just see ourselves as just plain vanilla little old me's sitting in the pews, maybe going to Bible study, maybe not, reading books about exciting things that God does in other places and with other people, but thinking that these things don't apply to us. Well, in fact, all that God is asking us to do is step out in faith. And stepping out in faith means informing your faith. It doesn't mean sitting there in ignorance, not reading, not researching, not trying to find out more, and then saying, well, this stuff will never happen to me. Find out about it, because like Thomas Aquinas says, the reason a lot of us don't experience the sacramental power that we're given is because we don't know about it. Or even worse, perhaps, is because we might be in bed with the world to the point where we don't care about it. So you go to lacks in perception and in will and in desire, and in really desire to apply these things, because you are perfectly content in the material world. You're perfectly content with where you are economically, financially, socially, intellectually. You got a good family, you got a good business, why rock the boat, you know, that kind of thing.
You're very comfortable where you are.
And that's kind of the plague of modern Americans, I think, mm-hmm. is being afflicted by comfort, you know, being afflicted by competence. Like we know what's going on, we got it covered. But in the end, then somebody comes, for instance, somebody we know pretty well, just came down with some devastating metastatic cancer. And the guy's like a type A. He's like, he's never been very easy to get along with. He extremely successful in his field, very well respected, very well sought out for, made a name for himself in his field. Mm-hmm. But now he has no other point of reference other than, I have metastatic cancer. He doesn't know where he's going. You know, he just has lived his life, like many, on this plane, and that's all there is. And if there is some sort of other option, well, that's sort of pie in the sky and I'll think about it later sort of thing, you know?
Right.
And that has really given me a sobering kind of, a sobering view on how a lot of people live their lives. And there's more of them than there are of us, you know, who live life only on that plane, on the material plane, on the secular plane, on the plane that says this is all there is. But in fact, the idea would be to re-educate the church. Yes, you and I speak about the church. We speak about the people in the Catholic Church and in the other faith denominations, the universal church. But we should also remember that society as well, we should re-educate society and the church to have expectations. You and I should repent from low or non-existent expectations. I think it's re-educating our expectations. The truth of grace trumps all legalism. It trumps the idea that God cannot use me.
You know, I almost think of sins of omission when when you're given an opportunity and you don't use it. You know, I think that should be a prayer that I'll concentrate on, that not to miss those opportunities, not to let anything slip through my fingers. Mm-hmm. When there's someone to pray for or something to do, to step out and expect that to happen. Mm-hmm. Because if we're open, it will happen. And I think as a laity, we need to get out there. We cannot rely on poor Father doing everything. That's just not
consistent with what the church is. Out there. Yeah, and it's a Catholic disease, I think.
Yes.
This idea that somehow Father's got to do everything. It's not really prevalent in other denominations, although, yes, we have, like, the preacher is out there doing everything, or the church staff, right?
You know what struck me when I went to this meeting was all the men that were there, and they had to take off a day of work.
Right.
You know, I'm sure that there were a lot of women there that worked also, not to degrade that. But, I would almost say, Lavinia, that there were almost more men or equal amount of men to women.
Oh, absolutely.
Which really struck me.
Yeah. Well, it was kind of fun to be in an environment where we're doing praise and worship, and we're worshiping the Lord in the sanctuary of this church, and the guys are, like, making themselves known, right?
Yes.
Making themselves heard. Now
they're singing. They're totally into it, and that was just remarkable to see. And that's something that I wish we could stir that up a little bit more in our parishes, because
in our parishes, absolutely
there.
But, you know, you and I have been to the Renewal Ministries gathering up in Ann Arbor. I'm going actually again this year. And that's a great opportunity to see men worshiping God, you know, to see men fully committed to their faith. You know, somehow the Catholic Church, for some reason in America, or even in Europe, even more in Europe, has managed to feminize, you know, ministry. Somehow being religious is a woman's thing. You know, that's a very European perception too, you know. Women go to mass and women do church stuff and men live in the real world, you know, that kind of sexist thinking, you know. And yet, when in fact we are truly freed and powered up by the Holy Spirit, it doesn't matter. If anything, it's a very masculine thing to do. It's a very strong, muscular thing to do, is to take take hold of what God has for us and to step into the anointing and to believe him and to, you know, battle with the powers of evil, you know, etc. So that's I suppose maybe a different show. But one thing I wanted to talk about before we sign off for today was the relationship between the gift of healing and the revelatory gifts. So many of us have prayed, you and I have prayed for people for healing, but I didn't, and we always want to be open to the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit has for us, and we have, of course, the charismatic building up edifying gifts as detailed by Paul in 1 Corinthians 12 and elsewhere. So we know that the words of knowledge, like certain things that the Lord reveals to us about certain people, are always important, but I didn't realize how important that oftentimes the word gift, the revelation that God gives me about maybe somebody who has a headache or somebody who has a sore knee or somebody whose back is hurting, whatever, is a sign that if I speak that word out loud, the person whose back really is hurting is going to stand up and is going to come out, and we're going to pray for him and he's going to be healed.
Right.
There's that connection that if we're open to that, if we're open to God sharing with us his mind as to what he's going to do next, then we can kind of like call it out, and then it's an opportunity for building faith and for expectation for healing. That was huge for me, how the word of knowledge, releases the gift of faith in me and in the person who and then releases the healing gifts. Let me give you an example, and then we're going to have to sign off. We were practicing sort of, you know, during this conference, yielding to the words of knowledge, right?
Right.
We had a dinner break, and I went home, fixed dinner, and then I was going to come back, right? So as I'm fixing dinner, I'm thinking about the things that we learned in the conference, and we learned about how words of knowledge sometimes can come through physically. Like if your toe starts hurting all of a sudden, if it's not your, you know, your toe doesn't usually hurt, maybe that's God saying there is somebody whose toe is hurting.
Right.
You know? Or if I have a jabbing pain in my back that usually doesn't happen, you know, et cetera. So I'm thinking about that. I'm thinking, oh, that's interesting. I don't know what I think about that. And as I'm slicing the onions, my left thumb base joint starts burning and stabbing and jabbing and really hurting. And I'm like, oh, I wonder why my thumb is hurting right now. It doesn't usually hurt. And then I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I just slapped myself in the face. I'm like, this could be the Lord pointing out to me something when we go back tonight.
Right.
You know, this could be God, the Lord wants to deal with somebody's, you know, base of the left thumb. It was very specific, right?
Right.
So when they called out that if people have a word of knowledge for somebody, I was able to stand up and say, hey, you know, my left thumb, and I was very specific. It's a jabbing pain. It comes on that. I've never had it before. I haven't had it since.
Right.
And it went away. But then afterwards they said, people stand up who are experiencing that, and I'll be darned if three people stood up with that ailment. And then at that point, it opens up faith because it's the Lord pointing out the need. And then they came up for prayer. And then the idea was that you just ask the Lord to follow up on what he started, you know, how it's not about us, it's about him.
Right.
And all three of them were 80% or better. That's the rule of thumb, right? 80% or better is the pain gone.
And that was so interesting to me because healing goes on even after they left. And that 80% is a good sign. But it's not to say it's going to stop there, that it will continue. And actually, since the conference on Friday, I've been praying for those people that experienced the 80% to get to that
100%. That's right.
Because prayer goes on. Don't just do something and just stop.
Yeah, it involves the whole body too.
Right.
Which is cool. You know? So that was great. That was our experience with going to a conference on healing this past weekend. And we'll follow up in our next show. Thanks for joining us.
Redbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
We want to help others, especially in places of strife, such as the Holy Land, where Christianity is dwindling by the day. But how to help? Here's an easy way. Buying products through the Holy Land gift shop. Every product you purchase at myfranciscan.org/shop helps Christians support their families and stay in the Holy Land. Olive wood, embroidery, spices, and many more authentic products from the Holy Land are available right now at myfranciscan.org/shop. The Holy Land Gift Shop, bringing the Holy Land home.
I learned how many people we could help and how good you feel after you've helped others.
I know Lent is about giving, so I want to give.
These kids are talking about CRS Rice Bowl, a Lenten program known by generations of Catholic families. Children love it because they experience different cultures and gain a lasting impression of the people they are helping. You can bring CRS Rice Bowl into your home and experience the joy of seeing your children or grandchildren find new meaning in Lent. Visit crsricebowl.org to get started.
Rice Bowl inspired me to pray more and to pray for those who are less fortunate.
The Cincinnati Catholic Men's Conference is back. Tickets are on sale now for Saturday, April 28th at the Taft Theater at cincinnatimensconference.com or call 513-214-1534. The speaker conference roster is being hailed as one of the best lineups in the country. In rare appearances, come see Father Mitch Pacwa from EWTN, the man motivator Father Larry Richards, former Moeller High School and University of Notre Dame head football coach Jerry Faust, and the big celebrity keynote, Baz Rutten, UFC world champion, MMA world champ, and movie star. The conference theme is What it means to be a true Christian man in today's society. Don't miss the incredible day of motivation, spiritual benefit, and fellowship with men from all walks of life. Get tickets now at CincinnatiMensConference.com or call 513-214-1534. That's CincinnatiMensConference.com or 513-214-1534. Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media. Find more about us at breadboxmedia.com.